Ah, it's nice to look out on all these people. It's been a while since I've had the privilege of standing up here and looking the other way. I think last time I did it was we were looking at the book of Acts, when we were going through the book of Acts last year. And what was the second one? Delta, was it? Came along and suddenly everything changed again. But praise God, we're together again this year. And I'm just going to say a prayer before we look at the word tonight, this morning, I mean. Father, we just come to you this morning. We thank you that we can be together again. And we thank you for your mercy on us, on our country, that this pandemic has seemed to have mainly moved on, and our lives are beginning to go back more to what we're used to. So we thank you for this gathering together today, and we thank you for the two special things that make it very special as Christians. Two things that we have with us today, apart from one another. We have your word and we have your Holy Spirit. And we just acknowledge your spirit in our midst right now and say, Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. You're welcome in our lives. Speak to us today. Reveal yourself to us afresh today. In Jesus' name, amen. Am I still on? Went lost me for a second. A little while ago, Philip and I had a talk, and we decided that it was a topic that really hadn't been addressed maybe for a while, and that would be useful for, as a church to look at it again. In recent times we've been praying for the Lord to move in our midst afresh, and to, you know, it's obviously been a hard time the last couple of years for a variety of reasons, obviously the pandemic, but many other things have happened as well. But we've been seeking God to move in our midst by His Spirit. And I said to Philip, well, we haven't really had any sort of teaching about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I can't remember in the time I've been in the church when that particular topic has been dealt with. It's been touched on in the course of different other messages, but not sort of particularly focused on as a subject. And it's, I think, a very important subject. So Philip said, okay, seeing you're suggesting it, you can do it. And I was like, oh, I put my foot in it, didn't I? With some trepidation, I agreed. as Philip mentioned in this past assault this week, the subject of the Holy Spirit has, over particular recent history, when I say recent history, over my lifetime, the Holy Spirit at times has been a controversial subject, and with differing opinions about what is acceptable and what God is doing. And so we've had certain, unfortunately, the Holy Spirit, which was come to draw us together as the body of Christ, the issue of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit have times had the opposite effect, and people have said, no, you can't speak in tongues, it's not right, it's something for the early church. And Various other issues have come up, and I've come from a background where before I was in Chapel Hill, I was in a Pentecostal church. In fact, I pastored a Pentecostal church, so you've had me hiding in your midst, and so today I get to go. So the Holy Spirit has always been special to me, and the gifts of the Spirit have been very special in my life. So from that point of view, it's a privilege for me to speak on this subject. But in praying about it and thinking about it, I thought, and someone in my life group mentioned this too the other day, before you get on to the gifts, let's spend some time thinking about the giver, the giver of the gifts. Because the Holy Spirit can sometimes be the neglected member of the Trinity. We sometimes call God the God, the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Another term for it is the Godhead. But it's very clear. Jesus, for example, said, "I baptize my disciples in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." And that is just one of many references that gives us the understanding that though there is one God, there are three members of that Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And generally, in our church, quite understandably, we talk a lot about God the Father and a lot about Jesus. Jesus is our Savior, and of course, He needs to be at the center of our lives. But sometimes the Holy Spirit, well, it's a bit different. He's a bit different. Because we can have pictures of Jesus and we can, see him as a man and what he's done. If you've got the King James Bible, he's the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost, that sounds... But of course, in modern translations, they've changed the Holy Spirit, which maybe is a little bit easier to handle. the Holy Spirit isn't a ghost. He's not going to pop out and boom. but he is a person. And Philip mentioned this in the past assault this week, is that. Sometimes it's hard to. In fact, I'll read a little bit because he gave a good introduction, and I'll just use that to lead into what I'm going to say. And I thought, great, Philip, you're actually just right on line with what I've been thinking. So he says, one reason the Spirit is misrepresented, in my opinion, is reducing the Spirit to an impersonal force for empowerment. And sometimes we think of the Holy Spirit, we think of, yes, the power of God, and it's a dynamic power. And often, sometimes when I hear people talking about the Holy Spirit, and they would say, it's great. But it's not it, it's he. He's a person. He is a real person. And he has the characteristics of a real person. He speaks. Philip mentioned this verse in Hebrews. And I'll just read it. The Holy Spirit says, "Today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the day of rebellion, in the day of trial, in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works for 40 years, and I was angry with them. So the Holy Spirit says, anyone know where that comes from? Where that quote, that thing that what the Holy Spirit is saying there? When did the Holy Spirit say that? Mark, you know which Old Testament? Psalms. It's in the Psalms. Psalm 96. So the writer of the Hebrews says, the Holy Spirit says, well, it's actually a quote from the Psalm 96. And and that is one way the Holy Spirit speaks. He speaks through the Word of God. You know, the Word of God is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And one way we can hear the Holy Spirit is through the Word. And He speaks through the Word. And that's one way He speaks. So, and then in talking about the Holy Spirit, a passage in John 14, where Jesus is saying, he's talking to his disciples, and he's telling them that he's about to leave. He's about to die on the cross. And the disciples are very disturbed and upset, obviously, that Jesus is going to die. But then he begins to speak to them and says in John 14, we'll pray. It's gone again. If I bend over, I'll lose it. And I will pray to the Father, and He will give another helper, that He may abide with you, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it cannot see Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you, and He will be in you. And I will not leave you as orphans, for I will come to you. So He begins to tell them, don't be distressed, because I'm not going to leave you alone. You're not going to be orphans. I'm going to send another helper, another comforter, I think it says in the King James. So that there Jesus is saying, actually, I'm going to still be with you. In fact, I'm even going to be in you. When I go, the Holy Spirit is going to come. He's going to be and the word here, another comforter or another helper, means in Greek, there's two ways for another. One means another of the same nature, same kind. And the other one means another of a different kind. But this Greek word that we have translated another means another of exactly the same nature. Well, it's exactly the same kind. So in other words, it's like having Jesus with you and in you. And so here he uses the personal pronoun, him. You will know him. So it's not just some force, invisible spirit that's coming. It's a person that's coming to be with us and to dwell in us. And he makes the amazing chapter 16. He says, because I've said these things to you about his departure, your hearts are filled with sorrow. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But I, when I depart, I will send him to you. He makes the amazing statement. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, many of us would love to have lived at the same time as Jesus. Wouldn't it be great to actually, you know, like be one of the disciples, walking with Jesus, talking to Jesus, seeing Jesus, doing all the great things that happen. But here Jesus makes a statement. He said, it's to your advantage that I go away, because I'm going to send the Helper who's going to be with you and in you. And that is going to be greater than just having me walking on beside you on the road and watching what I do. So that's why, to me, the subject of the Holy Spirit is very precious. And I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to be real in our lives, to not just be an idea or something that we read about, but to be someone that we have a relationship with. I've just finished reading a book called Good Morning, Holy Spirit. And it was written a number of years ago. It's sort of a classic. And in this, the author talks about how getting up in the morning, the first thing he does is say, Good morning, Holy Spirit, and spend some time just focusing on the Lord and opening his heart for the Holy Spirit to guide and to direct his prayer, direct his thoughts, and to lead him into a new day. So that's what I decided to do today then, was just to spend some time and look at a few scriptures. Well, one of the things that fascinated me is that the Bible is absolutely jam-packed full of references to the Holy Spirit. I think there was something like a couple of hundred verses that specifically talk about the activity of the Holy Spirit. And there's also different names for the Holy Spirit. I've said, first of all, he's a person. And secondly, as I said also, he is God. And he is the Spirit of God, also the Spirit of the Lord. And the word your Lord, and that Isaiah 61, for example, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me. And so here's that word is translated Yahweh, Jehovah. It's a special word for God. So when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we talk about, we have a awe and respect, but at the same time, know that he is a personal friend that we can turn to for help. A couple of the aspects of the fact that he is a person is that he can be grieved. Ephesians 4 and verse 30, Paul says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit which you have been given, who you have been given. So he has emotions. He can be grieved. He can be lied to. In the book, in Acts, we see the story of Ananias and Sapphira, who tried to deceive the church by giving a false offering. And Peter says to them, don't lie to the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, obviously in the book, in Jesus' life, he was totally dependent on the Holy Spirit. He began his ministry by quoting the Isaiah 61 that I mentioned, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because Jesus was a man, he, as Paul says in Philippians, he laid aside some of his divine attributes, his divine powers, and became a man. And he was completely dependent on the Holy Spirit's power, the Holy Spirit's presence on his life to do what he did. And that way, he was setting an example for us. He was a man of like flesh, it says in Hebrews. But we are flesh and blood, but we can depend on the Holy Spirit. When we act in faith, the Holy Spirit is there to help us and to strengthen us. So these are some of the aspects of the Holy Spirit. His personality. If you want to see more of his personality, you can read in Galatians about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience. These actually are things that can manifest in our lives, but they come through the Holy Spirit. Now, I've got a number of illustrations I'm just going to briefly go through. Daniel's got them up there to put up. Go back to the first one, the dove. And, have you been putting those up while I've been talking? Okay, that's all right. We can just focus on them now. I wonder why people are looking up there all the time. Okay, so we're just going to go through these illustrations which tell us a little bit more about the Holy Spirit. So the first one is the dove. And in Matthew 3, 16, 17, when Jesus was baptized, it said that the Spirit came upon him as a dove. And those couple of verses show us the different aspects of God, the Trinity. It says that Jesus went down into the water and was baptized. The Holy Spirit came in the form of a dove. And the Father said, "This is my Son, in whom I am pleased." And so we see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit working together in harmony. And so the first illustration of the dove is of the Holy Spirit as dove. Now, if you think of what I was saying before about our idea of the Holy Spirit just being a power, a force, a dove is very gentle. A dove is, Steve and I go for walks by the river, and under the Fairfield Bridge, there's a whole lot of doves. And then as soon as we go there, they're gone, they fly away. So the dove can easily be disturbed. Now, I'm not saying that, obviously it's an illustration, but it shows that even though the Spirit is a powerful force, the Spirit is also very sensitive, like a dove. And so we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit to allow him to lead us and guide us. And he is mighty, but he is also gentle. He won't force himself on us. He will work with us. So the first illustration is the dove. Second one is a mantle, I think. Yes. In Luke 24, Jesus said, "Wait in Jerusalem." This is before Jesus went to heaven. He was waiting. He was speaking to the disciples and was going about to return to heaven. And he said, "Wait in Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, and he will clothe you with power. He will be like a mantle upon you." And so this mantle is emphasizing the power that will come if we invite the Holy Spirit to come upon us. It will be like a cloak around us that will give us the power of the Holy Spirit. When Elijah was about to finish his ministry, the prophet Elijah, God spoke to him and he said, "Go and anoint Elisha and to take your ministry." And then when Elijah died, he took the mantle or the cloak that Elijah had, and that was a symbol of the power of God in Elijah's life. And when he took that mantle on him, he had the authority of a prophet that Elijah had. So the Holy Spirit gives you that mantle when you allow him to come in on your life. Right, next one is the seal. Now, this is an unusual one. Ephesians 1 and 13 talks about us being sealed by the Holy Spirit. And I'll just turn to that. Like I said before, there's an incredible number of scriptures, and if I was doing a Bible study course, then I'd be spending a lot of time going through all these scriptures, but we haven't got time for that today, so I'll just pick on a few. In Ephesians chapter 1, it says in verse 13, in Christ you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation. And having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. So in that picture there, can anyone see what's on the seal? It might be a little difficult to make out on the... A heart, brilliant, yes. And in the heart, can you see what's in the heart? The thumbprint, yes. So that's a seal that you place on something, saying this is mine, and it's set aside for you. We have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. When we believed in him, as Paul says, we are sealed. The Holy Spirit comes and his seal is upon our life. We are set apart for God from that point on. We're in God's care. And then in the next verse it says, who is the guarantee of our inheritance? Next one is the guarantee. 100%. So we are sealed, set aside for God through his Holy Spirit. We are now connected with God. We are sealed in our relationship with God. And this is a guarantee of our inheritance. It's a wonderful, another word for it is assurance of salvation. We don't have to think, oh, I don't know. Is it going to work out for me? Am I going to be with Jesus? We have been sealed and God has given us 100% guarantee that we belong to him. And over in Ephesians 4 and verse 30, Paul says, and this is the verse that I talked about before about grieving. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you have been sealed for the day of redemption. The day of redemption is when Christ returns. We have been sealed for the day of redemption. So this seal of God, the Holy Spirit, is on our lives. It signifies that we are set apart for God, and nothing will separate us from him, as it says in Romans 8. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. We have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. He is with us. He will never leave us. And he is a guarantee for the day of redemption, when Christ returns or when we go to be with the Lord, that we will receive our inheritance, eternal life with him. It's a wonderful, wonderful thought. So knowing the Holy Spirit is a tremendous thing. Now that's falling down, I know. It just, every time I put a bit of weight on it. It's not meant for preaching, I think. Right, the next one is anointing. Yes, oil. Oil is very significant in the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament, with Moses and the priesthood. They were always anointing the priests. They were anointing the kings. It signified that they were set apart by God in a special way, and that God's Spirit was upon them. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was very, very present right from the very beginning. The Spirit of God at the creation, the Spirit of God was moving on the face of the earth. And we see the Holy Spirit working right through the Old Testament. But it was usually in the form of power, manifesting as power. There's few references to people actually having the Holy Spirit. One example that there is David, King David. He had a close relationship with God. He had a heart after God. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God was in him because he prayed when he sinned, "Do not take your Holy Spirit from me." He had a relationship with the Holy Spirit. But that was an exception, because it was only after Jesus died and paid for our sins that the Holy Spirit came to dwell in us in a wider sense. So the anointing oil, to quote that verse that Jesus quoted, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." The Holy Spirit anoints us to be used by him. Okay, next one is wind, I think. Yes. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is illustrated as a wind. Famous story, Nicodemus said to the Nicodemus, "You have to be born again of the Spirit." And Nicodemus said, "What? What are you talking about?" He didn't understand. And Jesus said, he was illustrating being born of the Spirit. He said, you can't see him, you can't see him, but you feel him, you know when he's there. And you can feel the presence of God through the Holy Spirit. And he is like a wind. On the day of Pentecost, he came as a mighty wind and swept through that building where the disciples were with the power of God. Again, this is bringing out the different aspects of the nature of the Holy Spirit. His power, on one hand, his gentleness on the other. But the fact that he is very real, even though he is invisible to us. Jesus said to the... next one is water. Last one. Water. Water. The water of life. The Spirit of God is a spirit of life. He brings life. He brings life to the Word. He brings life to us. The Bible says Jesus was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He gives life to us, eternal life. But this can be seen in water. Firstly, when John's Gospel in John 4, when Jesus was with the woman at the well, he said to her, I can give you a water that you'll never thirst again. And he was speaking of the Holy Spirit. When she put her trust in Jesus, she would have a water that would be within her that would satisfy the deepest needs of her life. The Holy Spirit, when we're full of the Holy Spirit, he can satisfy the deepest needs of our heart. He'll bring the love of God into our hearts in a way that we know how it's for real. And that's what Jesus said to this woman. And then in John 7:37, Jesus was preaching on the day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And on the last day of that feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." By this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those who believe in him would receive. So the Holy Spirit will be like a well of water flowing out from our heart. So not only will it be a well of water that will satisfy our souls, but this well can flow out from us to others to know the love of God flowing out of our lives as we allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. So these are different ways, illustrations of the Holy Spirit. Because, as I said, being a spirit, sometimes we can find, you know, it seems kind of mystical. But these are just illustrations of the reality of the Holy Spirit through these kind of physical illustrations. All of them lead to one thing. It's the fact that the Holy Spirit is real in our lives. And we need the Holy Spirit to live for Jesus. We can't do it in our own strength. We can only do it in His power, by His Spirit. It says in the book of Zechariah, it's not by might or not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And so today I just wanted to talk about the Holy Spirit. And I want, Jesus says here in this verse, if anyone's thirsty, let him come. If anyone's thirsty, if you're desiring more of God in your life, the reality of God in your life, if you were wanting a fresh touch from God and a deeper relationship with God, if you're thirsty, come to Jesus. Come to Him, ask Him for the Holy Spirit to move in your life. And He will be your comforter, your strength, and your helper, as He promised in John 14. So I just want to finish. We're going to sing that song, Holy Spirit, Fall Afresh on Me. Then we're going to, I'm just going to finish in prayer. Also, this morning, I'm going to be with Craig Graham and praying for anyone who has any needs that they'd like prayer for. And if you would like to experience more of the reality of the Holy Spirit in your life, please feel free to come up for prayer after we finish. Let's stand, and we're going to sing it. We'll sing it a bit slower this time. We'll sing it as a prayer from our hearts for the Holy Spirit to fall afresh in our lives. We need Him. We desperately need Him. We just come to you today. We thank you for your wonderful salvation that you've given us. As we've remembered today, your death on the cross, that your sacrifice for us, that our sins might be forgiven. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you, when you went back to heaven, you didn't leave us as orphans. You didn't leave us on our own to struggle in our own strength. But you send us another helper, another comforter, another intercessor who would be with us to lead us, to guide us, to help us, to strengthen us. Jesus, we pray as a church that we might know your Spirit more in our lives, that you might fill our lives afresh with your Spirit, that we might glorify you, because that is the mission of the Spirit and the mission of the church, to glorify you, to make your gospel known. So I pray for everyone here today that they might just have a fresh sense of your presence, and that you'll increase our hunger to know you more and to know the power of your Spirit in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name we ask. Amen.